It's been a busy post-budget morning with the focus understandably on changes to negative gearing and capital gains tax and the implications for the housing market. But our political correspondent Tom Crowley and business and economics correspondent Carrington Clark, they are back to talk about the budget night stories that got less attention. Tom, starting with immigration, there were some changes last night which could be quite significant.
This one I think is a little bit of a budget sleeper, Sally. There were some changes that we learnt about in the week leading up to the budget to what's called the points test, which is basically a scoring system for skilled migrants so that prioritises people with education levels, English speaking levels, a commitment to tighten this up to get more people with a higher level of skills. This was added to on budget night with a commitment as well to reserve more places in the permanent program for those who are already here, almost like a US green card, it sounds like. And the claim was that this would put downward pressure on net overseas migration. Once again, net overseas migration blew past its budget forecasts last night. We learnt that this is apparently a measure to put further downward pressure on that and also gives the government an opportunity to be more selective on the basis of education or English language skills. And the other change was expanding the use of ballots for working holiday makers. British and Irish backpackers were quietly quite a huge part of the surge in net overseas migration that we saw after the pandemic, one that we don't necessarily talk about as much as international students. But the idea of ballots, quite contentious, I would have thought, from some nationals and in some regional electorates, perhaps even One Nation's David Farley might have some thoughts about that, given that that's often an important source of labour in regional electorates. But a couple of examples there that Labor might be building a campaign itself to bring down temporary migration levels.
And Carrington, another number that was being talked about last night, it comes to tobacco excise revenue. It's fallen yet again. This just keeps happening. What did the numbers tell us last night?
Yeah, it continues to plummet, and you can really see the impact of illegal tobacco, which is obviously not subject to the excise, having an impact on the budget bottom line. I think it will raise questions about whether or not the tax settings are correct, if what you're wanting to do is both discourage people from smoking more but also raise revenue for the government. So they've got the it's falling now in the 2026-27 year to $1.2 billion, which is a massive decrease, $1.2 billion less for 2026-27 than it was expected to be just 6 months ago. But going forward, in 2029, it's expected to generate only $2.1 billion. That's about 75% less than the $7.8 billion it collected in 24-25. So yes, they were hoping that this would lead to less people smoking and that eventually you would see less excise coming in. But at the moment, the reason it's coming down is because people are getting these cigarettes that aren't subject to that tax.
And Carrington, another element was a package of business tax cuts, including what's known as loss carryback. Is this a bit of a throwback to COVID times? How does it work?
Yeah, so this allows companies less than $1 billion of global turnover, so slightly smaller than the group of companies that it used to apply to during COVID times, allows them to carry back tax losses from years starting from 1st of July 2026 to offset the tax they paid in previous years. So if you've got a temporary downturn, you've previously paid tax to the government, then you can get that money back. And this, they say, will help with cash flow in the short term. It means that these companies don't go to the wall during difficult times. We're in a situation, obviously, with great economic uncertainty, the global oil price shock causing some companies to be dealing with turbulence. This will allow them to hopefully get through a period where they don't have the cash flow coming in, but also they hope will generate more risk-taking. They want companies to take risks, to be investing in new pieces of machinery, to be investing in new research, and this, they say, will help to offset some of that risk. There was criticism going in when this was all speculative that perhaps the changes to the capital gains tax discount would discourage people from taking a punt on business. This is partly to offset this, and the government has said that they're open to other tweaks to make sure that we are encouraging risk-taking in the business community.
Tom, how much is that business component a push for productivity?
Yeah, I think that's a really significant part of it, and it's almost a deliberate assertion from the government that smaller is better. And, you know, I mean, Australia's economy in general, I think, lacks dynamism on most of the measures of innovation, and I guess that being where productivity comes from, and particularly in the startup sector. But the other context here is how nervous the startup sector was and continues to be about capital gains tax changes because, you know, Labor applied them to shares, I think, out of a desire for consistency, not because they necessarily had any particular problem with any equity to do with the CGT and shares. But the implication is that high risk, high reward, high return stocks get taxed higher. And so this, I think, is the carrot to that stick. It might take a little while for the startup sector to wrap their heads around exactly what that means. But I think it's a consistent theme across the budget that Labor has kind of laid. It's almost like a reverse booby trap. We sometimes talk about budget booby traps that people leave for future governments. In this case, for scare campaigns, because not only have they done this for startups, but when it comes to trust changes, farm income's been exempted, estates have been exempted, fixed trusts, almost every different thing that you could think of that Tim Wilson and the coalition might want to run against. The design features of all of these policies and things in this sort of full budget package, it's almost like Labor has been trying to head off every possible line of attack. It'll still be contentious, but this is a budget designed with the politics very much in mind, I think.